Welcome to Business Jazz with Paul O'Mahony and Roger Overall. The podcast about how to be genuinely attractive in business today.
Welcome to Business Jazz. My name's Roger Overall. I'm a digital storyteller. Sitting with me is Paul O'Mahony. Paul, hello.
And I don't know what I'm going to say I am, except that I change things. You distracted me from reading an email by Chris Brogan.
By Chris Brogan. And this is today's topic. And I think it's a fantastic email. I think it contains great information, great practical tips, and I'm already reaping the benefits.
Well, I just say one thing about it at the very beginning. I just realized I've made a complete misunderstanding of Chris Brogan about his email, right? When I read it first, I read a phrase in it that I read as the Clue Train Manifesto, and I subsequently read what came immediately after it in the light of thinking that Chris Brogan had said, yes, I've read the Clue Train Manifesto, right? So I said, oh, Chris is referring to the Clue Train Manifesto. I love that. I must get back to him about that at some stage. Now I read it here sitting this morning, and I say, it says, the Checklist Manifesto. So whatever we're going to talk about, Roger, I guess it's going to be, unfortunately, not about the Clue Train Manifesto. It's going to be about the Checklist Manifesto.
No. Although the Clue Train Manifesto is, in fact, a list. Can you tell people very briefly what it's a list of?
It's a list of propositions written a very long time ago that describe the amazing world we live in today on the internet, really. I mean, I think the most insightful forward appreciation of what was coming down the track in the digital age. It is available, by the way, online, and it was 1998, I think, or 1999 when it was first written, but I wish to rewrite it, whatever it is, 10 or 12 years on, bringing it either up to date or reaffirming the validity of the propositions. Now, that is another project for another place, and you're only the fourth person in the world. John Peavoy, Gordon Murray, and Jane Boyd, and you are the only people in the entire... Oh, and Donald Cahalan, I think. They're the only people in the entire world who I have divulged that to. So will you keep it, please, to yourself?
Keep it very secret. We won't tell anybody else.
In case they steal the idea.
In case they steal the
idea. And pass
it
off as their own and become very rich. And I remain, you know, where I am here in Cork, in this cafe.
So what you're saying is that anybody who is welcome to listen to this podcast, but will have to kill you afterwards.
Will you please take us into the Brogan email?
Chris Brogan's email about lists. He starts it off with the concept of being bored. And what do you do when you're bored? Or when you think you've got time on your hands, you kind of fritter it away. And he gives very good examples. Everybody will recognise sitting in the office and going on Twitter, checking Facebook, maybe having a peek at LinkedIn. And actually doing things that really aren't progressing where they want to be going. They're not actually achieving anything. They're filling time. And he says, the reason for this is we don't have lists. And even if we have a list, we're not managing our list properly. Now, what should the list be? This is a list of things to do.
Yeah, I use to-do lists, Roger, right? My wife gives me to-do lists, and I have my own to-do lists. In fact, I have a whole book here full of to-dos.
This is the thing. If you don't have a to-do list, then there's very little chance you're actually going to do things that you should be doing. Even if you do have a to-do list, it could be completely wrong. Because not only does he sketch something that I think we all recognise, which is, oh, I've finished a task, what should I do now? Do you know what? I'll go on Twitter, I'll have a look at Facebook, whatever. He also sketches what many people will recognise as being their lists. Lists that contain things they put on there months ago and still haven't moved forward. Lists that have 100 items on them and are not being struck off. Lists that have items on them that don't actually tie in with your bigger goals, your bigger ambitions, what you're trying to do. So we all recognise, I think, having lists like that, which can actually be a hurdle.
Well, I did actually, in order to reduce the pressure on myself, a few times in my life I've constructed a list of absolutely everything, a mega huge list, and I'm talking about literally a list of hundreds of things. They include things like send each niece a birthday present, things that are domestic, things that are family, things that are work, publish that book, all those things. I've dumped the whole lot in order to say to myself, right, that's absolutely everything. Now, let me get rid of a whole load of them and let's prioritize. But at least I know all the things I'm not going to do. Does Chris say anything about that?
He does. He says, let's make three lists.
What are the three lists that Chris Brogan says we should make? List number one.
List number one is sometime, someday.
Oh, you mean like someday I will go to the South Island of New Zealand?
Yes, someday I'll run a marathon. Someday
okay.
I'll write a book.
Yeah.
They can be quite ambitious, they can be quite small, but they're in the someday category.
That can be very pleasant, though, to do that.
It can be. His reason is, at least then you've got them on a list. You haven't discarded them, you haven't thrown them away. You haven't said, I will never run a marathon. I will never write that novel. I will never visit the South Island.
And we could put that list on Listly, for example. We could put it on Listly on the internet, and other people could vote on it, and you could actually have an amusing time getting the opinion of other people about, you know, if I had a list of things I'd like to do, places I'd like to go, people I'd like to meet, books I'd like to write.
Now, here's the thing. The people I'd like to meet list, wouldn't that be great? Because you put it up there, you say, these are people I'd like to meet. Who knows? Two things could happen. Somebody might say, he's my best friend and I really like you and I'm going to introduce you. Or even better, I'm that person. You've intrigued me so much. Let's meet up. Wouldn't that be great?
Let me just interject a small story from yesterday. Yesterday I got confused. I don't know if this is true or not, but I saw a list, the latest list of all the speakers at the Dublin Web Summit. And I had previously seen a tweet from Paddy Cosgrave, the founder of Dublin Web Summit, to say, you know, we're about to update our list of speakers, and implying that some drop-dead gorgeous person was about to be announced. Now, since he'd already announced Robert Scoble, I thought to myself, who the hell could be coming down the line bigger than Robert Scoble, right? And then I suddenly clicked over to Paddy's link to the Dublin Web Summit website in some part of it, and I discovered that Jack, the founder of Twitter, is speaking at the Dublin Web Summit, right? Or so it appeared to me. And I thought, wow, you mean the founder of Twitter is coming to Dublin Web Summit? And I even put up a tweet saying, okay, I might as well admit it, that of all the people in the whole world coming to Dublin Web Summit, the person I'd most like to interview on Audioboo is the founder of Twitter. And then I decided, look, hang on a second now, everybody wants to talk to him about Twitter, right? And he's given 1,000 interviews, or as many as he wants to give about Twitter, so I won't want to talk to him about Twitter. I'll want to talk to him about therapy, because he is interested in therapy. Nobody else would be interested in talking to him about it. You know, I've had a load of therapy myself. I can connect with therapy. Now, why do I mention this? I mention this because it then turned out that somebody tweeted me back to say, well, actually, he might be on there because he spoke in 2010. But the question is, he's on a list of my most favorite people in the world that I would like to chat with. Throw that in case I put up a list on, or you put up a list, or anybody puts up a list on Listly, and I can say, well, I'd like to speak to the founder of Twitter, please.
Or in fact, if he's listening right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, you never know. Back
you
to Chris
know.
Brogan, Roger.
Chris identifies three kinds of
number
lists.
One is the someday I'll do something.
Someday
list.
I'll do something, which psychologically is very good to have, because
okay.
It means you haven't lost the idea hasn't gone away, so you don't have to feel bad that you've thrown it away or that you're not going to achieve it. It's there. Now, the other list is the big picture list. The big picture list is, what is it you're trying to achieve? What are your bigger goals in life? You could even say, what is your legacy going to be? These are the big things that you want to achieve. These are the vital things. These are the core things. Now, if you're in business, your business has a purpose. So one of your things on that list could be, I want to produce goods and services for my business, because you want to grow your business. There could be other things. I mean, Chris has three things on his list, one of which is say no much more often, is on his big scheme list.
Let me just interrupt you for one second. The distinction I'm getting between list one and two, or one way of thinking about it, is that list one is a list of your hopes, all the things you hope to do. But list number two is a list of your intentions. Would that be a useful...
I do. And I'd also say that if you didn't accomplish something on list one, you'd sort of go, well, I didn't accomplish it. If you didn't accomplish it on list two, you might have a regret. You might think, I wish I really, really, really had done that. I didn't.
You might. Well, if you only might have a regret, I mean, as far as I can see, the justification of list number two is, first of all, it has to be the core things you want to achieve in life.
Okay, so then we're talking.
Right? You ought to be rather pissed off.
So this is
this is
an angry person on their deathbed.
Well,
yes, you're right.
I mean,
going,
you
I
saying,
didn't do
you know,
this, yes.
You know, I didn't spend enough time with my kids. That's to be blunt, right? If you're on your deathbed, if your intention, if you never intended, and you were saying, look, I don't actually need to spend any time with my kids. My main stance in relation to my kids is I need to be able to let them go and trust that they'll be fine in the world. I don't need to spend any more time with them. I want them to spend time with other people. It's an unusual stance. I'm not saying it is mine.
I agree with you. Yes, might is far too weak. List two, intentions, things you will get pissed off with if you didn't actually get them done. And I think actually things that would, thinking about it, would harm you. If you have on there to grow your business, and you didn't grow your business, well then actually, that's to your detriment.
Unless you ditched that business and then invented another business instead. So you might actually have on your big goals to be a successful business person. Because in fact, the evidence is that the more failures you have, the more likely you are eventually to have a really good success. So you learn from your failures. So basically, my goal might be to have a regular succession of business failures.
I would like to be the biggest failure that I can. But yes, I see your point. You're absolutely
right.
A
stream of failures from which I learn.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Now, the book Little Bets by Peter Sims would actually encourage you to be in that frame of mind, wouldn't it?
It would, as would the book Lean Startup.
Is the same.
It's
all about that.
Yeah,
and I've just started reading The Lean Startup.
Oh, you have?
You know, I'm catching up with you.
But yes, I think having a goal on your list, well, not being afraid of failure is really what we're saying. So list number three then.
List number three, I predict.
Go on.
Is about everyday life.
Yes, it's about the now.
Is it called the now list? What does Chris Brogan call it?
He calls it the now list.
Oh, does he? Right, okay. That seems a very good title. Chris is a very inventive, creative guy. Actually, he's come up with a great word which relates to the Buddhist tradition, you know, and the mindfulness tradition, living in now, being now, surrounded by stuff, the sound in this cafe, the look on your face, the technology I see around me, the level of milk in that particular little bottle, living in now. Yeah.
Well, he says the now is really all we have.
Oh, he's being very mindful then.
Then he's mindful that nothing goes on the now list that doesn't tie in with the bigger picture list.
Okay, right. So everything he's talking about, having a connectedness in your life.
I think here we're talking about for a business.
It doesn't
mean that you can't have several sets of three lists. You can have one for business, one for your home life, one for whatever you want to achieve.
I personally am only capable of having one now list at a time. I'm with Jane Boyd on this in relation to the complete melange of work and, you know, business and home life. I jumble, you know.
But then isn't one of the items on your number two list have a good balance between work and home?
Oh my God, of course, absolutely.
So then any item that you have on your third list, the now list, ties in with that. Let's just dwell on this idea of the three lists. The number one list, someday I will, number two list, the bigger picture, and the number three list, which then has actionable items. So what Chris is saying is that we have a list then, that when we reach that moment when we've done something, we're able to go, okay, well, what's the next thing on the list? What is it that I can do now that is going to move me forward? He has this great concept, love the grind. And doing the grind is what's going to get the job done. Doing the grind is one of his big secrets to success.
I think Seth Godin has said something like that as well, you know. Love the grind.
And really what he's saying is, look, if you want to succeed, you've got to put in the grunt hours. You've got to do the hard graft. You've got to do the work. That's another one of Chris's phrases, isn't it? Do the work.
Every day. Now, this relates back to his previous email. So he's actually, I think, linking up this week's email with last week's email or the week before's email, when which, in relation to the manifesto, he referred to having got some kind of agreement with Jacqueline about work every day. even when he doesn't feel like working. So this is the grind. Seth Godin says you've got to ship something every day.
Yeah. So then you have your to-do list of things. When you finish a task, you go to the list, and there is the next thing to do that is going to move you forward. It might not be something you're looking forward to, but if you do it, you're moving yourself forward.
In order to do the grind and keep up that kind of work, he says here, and I quote the phrase here, you need to wean yourself from the habit of reflex boredom habits.
Yes.
Now, Roger, what is a reflex boredom habit? What does that mean to you?
It takes us back to the beginning of the email. Reflex boredom habit is, I don't know what to do next. I've just finished something. I don't know what to do with my time. I will go on Twitter. I will go on Facebook. I will do something, in essence, that is utterly unproductive. It's not going to move me forward. Now, I'm not saying every second of your life, and I don't think this is what Chris means either, that every second of your life has to be doing something that will move you close to your goals. I mean, we need downtime, we do.
But whenever anybody suggests to me that my work on Twitter is reflex boredom habit, I feel insulted. It is absolutely intentional work.
But that's not what I said. You're a rare person. You actually go on Twitter with a purpose. Most people go on Twitter to be entertained.
For relaxation. Well, I need relaxation, but actually and I do actually also use Twitter for relaxation, I have to say.
That's fine, but when you go on Twitter, you have a particular purpose in mind half the time. When most people go on Twitter, they don't. What Chris is trying to say is stop yourself from doing things. It doesn't have to be going on Twitter. It could be doodling something on a piece of paper. It could be staring off into space. What he's trying to help you do is when you finish a task, that you have there ready to go the next thing on your list. And you know that if you have this structured of a list, that next thing that you do is actually going to move you forward to your goals. So that at the end of the day, at the end of the week, and the end of the month, and end of the year, you have actually moved forward.
So you've been pulled through the day purposefully.
Yes.
By a list of tasks which are connected to your most important goals.
Yes.
Is that it?
Yes. As long as you're ticking things off that list, you're making progress.
You're making progress, right. And indeed, if I follow another school of thought, it says, don't put too many things on your to-do list and always fully achieve everything on your to-do list each day. Now, I had experience recently on a day when I felt really crap, but also I felt that everything I did during that day was hard work. I actually came home at the end of the day feeling like I'd been pushing water uphill. But I began the day with 15 items on a list. By 6 o'clock in the evening, I got 14 of them ticked off. I did not enjoy doing any single one, and I came home feeling a load of bloody complaints about every single conversation had been hard. Every task, every bit of the way of crafting a piece of writing which the new company could use had been tough. And I had thrown my toys out of the pram on at least 3 occasions during the day, right? I hadn't been the nicest person to be with. And I had had moments of sounding off and having rants, complaining about the difference between my style and some other people's style. But I got 14 out of 15 items ticked off to my complete shock. And the 15th one was done that evening. I mean, it was absolutely a shock that I had had a lousy day as far as I was concerned, but I had got a whole collection of big ticks and highlighting pens, because I have a method of, you know, rewarding myself with ticks and highlighting pens, you know, rather than just having a list and doing it, or else I get vigorously into scrubbing the item off with a pencil in my moleskin notebook.
That's a good psychological thing, isn't it, to scrub something off. Let's just move on to the next thing that Chris mentions in his email, which is, okay, well, where do you put these lists? What do you do with these lists? And he has this great, great idea, and I've actually implemented it straight away. I thought, this is fantastic, I'm going to do this. He says, have a master place where you log your lists and you scrub them off, so that becomes the record of achievement as well.
That's my moleskin notebook.
That's your moleskin notebook, yeah. And I've now actually loaded an app that he uses, which is Remember the Milk. But also have them on display in multiple places. So yes, you can have an app where you list things and you scrub them off, or you can have them in your moleskin notebook. But certainly if you have them also on your computer screen or near your computer, which is what I habitually do anyway, then they're always there. The more places you can see your list, the better, because then you're reminded of the things on the list.
Oh, so he's not actually saying take a photograph and post them on Instagram?
No. Well, you could do.
Okay, right.
Now, the thing is, I've been using the Remember the Milk app just to test it out. I quite enjoy it. However, nothing gives me more satisfaction than the physical experience of taking a pen and running a line through an item on a sheet of paper.
Did Chris Brogan say to do that? Did he suggest to do that?
He didn't.
I don't even know if he uses pens, actually. He may be a completely online guy.
But then for him, touching that button where it's the tick and the thing vanishes off the list, that might be the experience he craves. I just love the idea.
I think it is very important psychologically to reward yourself all the way. And this applies to everything, including all projects that you deal with. So from a project management point of view, right, and life is a project, right? You need milestones along the way, even mini milestones, and celebration. For me, the penny dropped years ago when celebrating was done with this kind of highlighting pen, and you do big ticks like that. And if you use coloured ones, you actually give yourself a multi-coloured experience. Now, I also use the old scrub a line through it. You know, you're kind of killing the thing. But the tick goes on every single time. A tick is a positive. Nike, of course, use this in a very positive way and are spreading the message of the tick.
Just doing it.
As their brand. So brands, you know. Yeah. So, okay, let's... I hope they haven't trademarked the tick. So that I can't use it, but I definitely have it in my Moleskine notebook.
For me personally, I like to scrub them off, and then I like to throw my lists away, the physical paper ones, because that to me is my little achievement. My little goal is I have a clean slate, because then I'm getting a fresh piece of paper with nothing on it, and then I fill that with my daily list.
And I'm a hoarder, right? I keep everything, so I would leave the list absolutely in the Moleskine notebook, so that my daughter's grandchild can find the notebooks in, you know, 160 years.
See what you achieve. I think everybody for themselves has to figure a system to implement this, whatever works. But I think the reward aspect of it is incredibly important. You need that sense of achievement. And the sense of achievement comes from crossing something off the list. And that's almost an added benefit of keeping a list, is the reward that comes from emptying the list. Very powerful.
I know we're getting towards the end of the podcast.
A minute and a half.
Okay. Well, I want to go right down to the end, because Chris Brogan has issued a request in his email. This is the last request. He says, if this kind of information that we've been talking about is useful to you, please consider tweeting or posting something like the following. He doesn't mandate the form of word. On your social network of choice. This is a request from Chris. That's all. Quote, I'm learning so much from this newsletter. Want your own copy? Get it here. He's saying now something I haven't noticed him saying before. You can tweet it. Now, I have one discomfort about that. I see Chris is using the word newsletter. I have never regarded the emails I get from Chris on a Sunday morning as a newsletter. And basically, I have a stance which is anti-newsletter, I have to admit, right? So I am going to try to persuade Chris Brogan to change the word. Perhaps he could adopt a Icelandic or a word that none of us actually understand and call his communication a blumpity blump.
I think you should call it a blumpity
blump. Well, yeah. So please, I'm learning so much from this blumpity blump. Want your own copy, get it here. That's my suggestion.
I think we might rename the podcast, don't you? That's interesting, because you touched on something that I had as a reaction to that as well. And I did tweet. I'm not sure. Maybe I even changed the word newsletter. Because I feel a newsletter is one of those blocky things with news items in it. Whereas Chris's emails are very well-crafted, singular items that draw us in and address us directly. He uses you an awful lot. Whereas a newsletter doesn't. Newsletters, to my mind, use we an awful lot, or I. So that's an interesting point you make. Anyway, we can't dwell too long on that, because we have to wrap up this episode, and we're not going to wrap up this episode without a big thank you to
to our producer, to our technical director, to our creative audio specialist, right? Over in the UK, here we are in Cork, right? And we're relating to Mark Cotton, MC Fontaine, MCFONTAINE, of a number of different fames, including the Bletchley Park podcast. I mean, we are incredibly fortunate to have a man of such talent and such connectivity partner with us. And we're now a team of four, actually. And our best wishes go out to Jane Boyd today. And so we're actually, in effect, a team of four people behind this podcast, Roger. You and I are just the front guys, you know, but the real talent lies behind the scenes, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. I was going to say we're the face of the podcast, but there is a contradiction in terms, I'm sure. So yes, Mark Cotton has kindly come on board, and we now have a real producer for the podcast, which is fabulous. So a shout out to Mark Cotton. If you want to find out more about Mark, we will link to him in our show notes, because there is now a blog that goes with the podcast with links, and we'll have links to Chris, and we'll have links to Jane, and we'll have links to Paul, and links to me, but also links to Mark Cotton. And you can find the podcast blog at businessjazz.net. So go to businessjazz.net and you'll find the show notes for this episode. Paul, we should wrap it up.
So from Paul O'Mahony and
from Roger Overall, thank you very, very much for listening. Thank you for letting us into your lives again.
And we'll be back again next week.